flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hard not to notice a little backlash against the Kansas City Chiefs. Say welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Yeah, the people have spoken, Pearl. They seem a little done with Kansas City. Now, obviously, the diehard Chiefs fans, you want your team to win forever and ever and ever. But the rest of us may be a little bit sick of all this Chiefs success, which I'm a little surprised by because we love greatness. And the idea that the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, it's never been done before. I thought some people would be rooting for that. Let's root for history, right, if you don't have a dog in the fight. But yet I've noticed the opposite is happening. I've noticed more people wanting to come over to the Buffalo Bills bandwagon or rooting for the Bills either to see something different or because the Chiefs rubbed them the wrong way or a variety of reasons. But I'm a little surprised by it.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that many people have brought. They're definitely like the team now. I think it's really good for sports when they have dynasties. I mean, NFL has risen on the backs of parity, but I do think like it's really good to have a three-peat. Like, I mean, the ratings are just going to be, if they three-peat, I mean, can you imagine what the Chiefs' ratings are going to be next year? So I think it's a love them or hate them. Like, you could do both. I think that's one thing about the Chiefs. I don't think everybody hates the Chiefs. I think there are a lot of people who still love the Chiefs. And I just think the more they win, the more must-watch they're going to be. Mm. It's been a long time because the Patriots dynasty was a little bit boring in a sense. Like, their style of play was so, I don't know. They just, like, Tom Brady was good, but it's not like you pull up Tom Brady highlights in the morning. The Chiefs have it all. They have the dynasty, and they're exciting, and they have celebrity girlfriends who are there. I mean, Giselle was there. Taylor Swift. I just think there's a lot going on. They do trick plays. They're fun. They have funny commercials where Bill Belichick and the Patriots are just so downtrodden throughout the whole run. I think there are, obviously you say that people are hating them, but they're in every commercial. Obviously somebody likes them.
Yeah, that's true. But you're right. There did not feel like there was any joy with the Patriots where there is joy maybe with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
Or at least that's how Mahomes plays. We asked you on social, on X, do you hate the Kansas City Chiefs? Literally, 50-50. 50-50 are in the responses, and you can go vote at Maggie and Pearl. So we've been talking a little about Kansas City and about sort of how do people view them. Do people want another Kansas City Eagles rematch?
No. Nobody wants that.
Well, nobody wants that maybe because the Eagle fans can be a little hard to take.
No,
and I say
no.
Sitting next to you as a diehard Eagle fan, but it gave us a great game.
Nah, but that has been there, done that feel. Like, you have the Commanders and the Bills are super exciting new teams. There's just no way anybody wants to see the Eagles Chiefs. That's clearly the last. I mean, and I'm admitting that. I hear the Eagles fans want to see it, but I can't imagine a neutral fan, right? Like, wouldn't you want to see Jaden Daniels or Josh Allen?
I guess, but again, I thought people want to see history be made
I do think a lot of people do want to see the Chiefs.
Okay.
I think the Chiefs
not what I'm getting from the public.
I think that people would be a little disappointed if the Chiefs weren't in the Super Bowl in the sense that you couldn't like keep rooting against them. I'm not saying that like, ooh, I'm hoping that little team from KC gets a three-peat, but I do think it's fun to see the dynasty. I mean, Bills Commanders would be good. It'd be fun and interesting, but it's not like epic. It feels more like the Rams Bengals, right? Like a one-off.
Interesting. 855-212-4227. Well, the Chiefs have inspired our great debate for today. On Wednesdays, we do a little something Call The Great Debate.
The Great Debate Series.
All right. Today's Great Debate. The most hated teams of all time. Biggest sports villains, if you will, but from the team perspective. Talking about, do people hate the Chiefs? You know what we're talking about. We're talking about the Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid Chiefs. We're not talking about the Len Dawson. Nobody hates those teams. Okay? We're not talking about, Trent Green. We're just talking about this iteration. What team did you hate the most, or do you hate the most? Perloff, do you want to get us started?
Well, yeah, I'll take the low-hanging fruit. Like a lot of people, I do always hated Duke basketball. Yeah, starting with Christian Laettner.
There's a double on Laettner. And Laettner kicked it.
That kid, Timberlake, had pushed me down earlier in the game, maybe one or two minutes before. And so I just made a mental note to try to get him back and be physical with him. And, you know, the next time I look up, he's standing right underneath me.
Stepped right in his chest.
I don't know if he did it on purpose or not.
Yeah, he did.
It was a dumb thing to do, but sometimes the emotion of the game, you know, gets into your head too far. And I got a technical, and then that was it.
Yeah, I mean, don't you hate him?
Who, Laettner?
Oh, yeah, after
this,
that.
This is your
just
pick. Go ahead.
That explanation, like, I'm saying, like, just that clip alone, like, how do you not hate that guy? It's because they're so snooty. They're Duke. The number one common ingredient, I think, with all of our choices is going to be arrogance. And maybe the Yankees, but other than that, find me a more arrogant organization than Duke basketball. Now, I don't care if it's Laettner. I don't care if it's J.J. Redick. I don't care if it's Grayson Allen. Just go down the list. Put me on the sideline of an ACC court. I'm going to hold up a poster with something clever and mean about a Duke player. I've always hated Duke basketball. Loved Zion and loved Grant Hill. But there are exceptions. But it was just the arrogance, the deep arrogance, and Coach K. Coach K, Mr. I'm better than you.
Okay. Today's Great Debate. We're asking for the most hated teams of all time. I'll go next. Part of this is arrogance. Part of it is personal torment. Part of it is actual cheating allegations. The Brady Belichick Patriots, come on. Very hateable. The success, 17 out of 19 years, they win the AFC East, the six Super Bowls, of course. The cheating, as I mentioned, Spygate, Deflategate, whatever you think about it. And more than the arrogance, I think, of the Patriots, Perloff, it's the smugness. The smugness led by Bill Belichick and Brady.
Read the MRI.
Brady played into it as well. They were like robots. And even Gronkowski, one of the most likable people to play football in the 100-year history of the league, just a big goofball, couldn't even be likable with the Patriots. They even broke through despite the Pats, which is something. Bill Belichick was smug. That's part of the reason why they are the most hateable.
How much will what happened affect your usage, you know, the way you use them in the game against the Chiefs, what happened on Sunday?
Well, we'll find out on Saturday. I could just Xerox you a copy of the game plan. You can send it over to Kansas City. It might be easier for all of us.
Yeah. That was Mike Reese, our buddy there, too. What the heck?
Fantastic reporter. And Belichick knows it. The dominance, the smugness, the Brady Belichick Patriots, the success.
Belichick.
Most hated teams. EJ, go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going with a team that I think all of America really rooted against and came behind as a pure op in all of basketball. I'm talking about the Heatles, the Miami Heat, when LeBron James and Chris Bosh joined Dwayne Wade to form the Big Three and take their talent to South Beach. They went. They had smoke machines. They talked about winning seven titles.
Not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
It was as pretentious as it got, and it got so bad that after they lost in the finals the first year, LeBron had to address a question about how do you feel now that America is cheering that you lost?
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not.
Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, you know, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family.
Yeah, I'm still rich. I'm still famous. I still live on South Beach, and you're still a fat loser. Yeah. That's basically what LeBron James told America when we cheered the Heat losing.
No, I think you forgot he also implied broke and lonely.
Oh, yeah, I said rich. Yeah. That was the first one, rich.
And I want my damn respect, too.
I mean, come on. I mean, what gets more hateable than that? Those Heat teams were just completely unlikable. So I'm going with the Heatles.
EJ, tell me that was out of context. I mean, I do remember it.
Put the question in there. Wow. I made sure. We got the question there, so everyone heard it.
God, the sound of this segment is awesome so far.
It's amazing. It's amazing that LeBron has any fans left after he said that. Anyone came back. That was worse than I remember it. All right, Manny, the most hated teams of all time. That's our great debate today. Go for it.
All right, so I'm taking you back to a long time ago. It's the mid-2010s, okay? You've got Steph Curry. You've got Klay Thompson on a basketball team. Couple of lovable guys. Couple of fine basketball players, whatever. You do have this one fella named Draymond Green, who's a little bit of a hothead, can get under the skin of people. But you know what? The Warriors were winning basketball games. So when you go ahead and start to win basketball games, and then you go ahead and add one of the best players in the world in Kevin Durant, I think all of a sudden that love that the Splash Brothers, you know, had, you know, all of a sudden that's gone.
I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
Not necessarily Steph Curry and Klay Thompson's Warriors, but Kevin Durant's Warriors. Yeah. Very unlikable.
There was a time, I think, when Draymond was very likable. Second-round draft pick, kind of overachieved, changed his body. Yeah. Perfect, you know, he was kind of Steph's protector and... Yeah, Durant made that.
Kicked a guy in the junk.
It was just one, I think we forget. And over again. Yeah.
God, this, again, like, you are making these people sound terrible. I feel like we almost have to play some nicer quotes from these guys at some point.
Executive producer of the show is really good.
I love it when Durant's like, all I want to do is play basketball and go home. It's like, you are the most online person that exists in
the
world.
And he asks him, hey, what about the basketball? I'm out of here.
Yeah, you how's the team doing? That. How dare you? You don't care about that. What do you think he cares about? What does he care about?
Oh, imagine him in the New York media.
Yeah, I know. It's funny that happened.
Bogus.
I don't listen to Manny.
It's like a chain reaction. Yeah. Bogus doesn't listen to Manny. Perloff doesn't listen to Bogus. None of us are listening to each other.
Nope.
All right, the most hated teams of all time. Bogus, you're last.
Other than the current New York Knicks, this one's very, very personal to me. It was one of the darkest days or phases of my sports fandom. And it all began with an annoying teenager and a bumbling umpire.
In right field, Tarasco going back to the track, to the wall. And what happens here? He contends that a fan reaches up and touches it. But Richie Garcia says no, it's a home run.
And that's how the Yankee dynasty of my lifetime began. And living in New York City, surrounded by smug, terrible Yankee fans, it was very easy to hate this group. I personally was in their clubhouse as they celebrated beating my Mets in the Subway Series. I had to watch that right here. It's a terrible group of humans. I wish...
Humans.
I wish that they actually were bad people. I don't have...
Mets are bad people.
I know. I don't have Derek Jeter being salty. I don't have Bernie Williams killing kittens. I don't have any... They just have dudes that kept winning games over and over and over again for way too many seasons. It drove me and many other people here in Cleveland, in Seattle, in Boston crazy. The Yankees suck still.
Yeah, but... That team, you hate that team more or A-Rod? Because if you throw A-Rod into that mix, then we're talking.
They won four titles in my face. A-Rod didn't do that.
I think it's hard because Mariano Rivera might be the nicest person alive. And
except I think for people, Bernie Williams and Derek Jeter.
Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams are just like...
They're two and three.
Really prince of a guys. I mean, we don't really know them, but I feel like we've been around them a little bit.
You know enough about Bernie Williams to know that Bernie Williams is a nice guy.
He's my emergency contact. Yeah, Bernie Williams, right. I trust. Yeah.
But I totally get what Bogues is saying. Yeah, totally they qualify. Remember what they did to the poor Padres? Forget it.
And you guys, none of you guys really did a personal thing. Like, my Yankee hate and other Met fans' Yankee hate is so deep that there are times where we enjoy Yankee losses more than Met wins.
Yeah.
We don't care. Now, part of that was because the Mets didn't win a lot.
That's a little psycho. But, no, it's very... I think we all added a personal element to this. I mean, Tom Brady held passing records in Buffalo Stadium as an opponent.
Yeah, that's true.
Like...
LeBron James flirted with being Nick for like 5 years and then took his talent to South Beach. It's personal.
Yeah, we all have personal.
Also, Pat Riley sucks.
When you Google who are the most hated teams in sports, there's a lot of Yankees. Like, it is
different
personal.
Eras.
Yeah, it's universal as well. Like, they're just, people hate what they called the Evil Empire. What else do you need to know? There's no other team that was called the Evil Empire.
But it was basically for baseball. Like, they were not... bleeps. Like, they went out, they just won.
Oh, right.
That's why we hated them.
That's true.
The people were not terrible.
No one stepped on a player's chest like Christian Laettner.
But it's not like, none of our people, okay. That's
well, Belichick cheated. I mean, that's why I put him as unlikable.
Yeah, that's fair.
But like LeBron said, said a bunch of crazy, arrogant things.
Right. Did Jeter do that? No. It was always nice. Didn't say anything for two decades.
Yeah, you're miserable.
But Steinbrenner was bad.
Yeah, right. But this was also this was not peak... crazy Steinbrenner.
He's literally suspended when they built this team.
Right. That's why they won four titles.
No kidding. 855-212-4227. All right, that's our great debate.
Vamos, Yankees.
The most hated teams of all time. Let's go. You can watch the show if you want to. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And we are so proud to announce that we have moved to SiriusXM channel 375. Babe Ruth, John Elway, Reggie Bush. That's how you remember 375.
Do you have a personalized 375?
I thought this one up, so I like this one. But I'll come up with a little.
I mean, there's got to be a Bill. Like, wait, what's Hamlin again?
DeMar Hamlin is three. EJ Manuel, what number are you wearing? Was he seven or five?
I've been seven. I think Tyrod Taylor was five.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Got it. Got the
Tyrod Taylor was five. That's a weird number for a quarterback.
I got to double check. I got to double check. Don't hold me to it.
I think JP Losman was five.
Oh, that's even better.
I think you're right.
Well, I'm trying to get people to remember the 375, not forget the 375.
Right.
SiriusXM 375, the free Odyssey app, which you can download, and it's awesome. Okay, let's go. The most hated teams of all time.
All right, Maggie. Let's talk about love. Because you know who I love? I love Anthony Edwards. You know what I love about Anthony Edwards? Going over 26.5 points tonight. Yeah, I'm talking about Prize Picks. Okay, Anthony Edwards, his last three games, 36, 28, 32. So he's got to get 26.5 tonight, and I can win on Prize Picks. Best place to play daily fantasy. Millions and billions of dollars in award winnings. Prize Picks has made daily fantasy sports accessible to all. So simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport, pick more or less on their projection, and you could win up to 1,000 times your money.
Loving that college basketball is in full effect. And if you are a hoops fan, you got to get in on Prize Picks because you can combine your college basketball wagers with the NHL, with the NFL. It's unfortunate that college football is now done, but we march on, Pearl.
Yeah.
There's so much to do on DraftKings. You become this massive soccer fan now simply because of Prize Picks. We're absolutely obsessed.
Except occasionally I get the soccer and the e-gamers mixed up. It happens. They all have one name.
Listen, as long as you're winning, that's what is important. Join Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. It's available in more than 40 states, including our friends in California and Texas. What do? You download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MNP. Get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks. You get a $50 credit instantly and you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Chef's kiss. Prize Picks. Run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back. on Wednesdays, we do the great debate. Today, inspired by what we think is some Chiefs backlash, mostly because of their success.
Ohio State backlash.
And Ohio State backlash. We were inspired. So our great debate is, who are the most hateable teams of all time? Perloff went with, go ahead.
Duke, Blue Devils.
Yeah, the Christian Laettner era, yeah. Like Coach K. Or no, you said across all eras, as long as Coach K was there, right?
Oh, yeah. Nobody hates the Duke now. But yeah, no, I think Christian Laettner, it's all the same era. Nothing changed, right? Christian Laettner stepped on that guy, and everybody inherited that evilness.
Is Grayson Allen the last Duke player that we've really hated as a nation?
Yeah, definitely.
Reddick followed the group you talked about eventually, and then Grayson. No one after that got the same heat like those
Cooper Flagg doesn't get any of that.
No.
Which is the funniest part, though, about Duke, yeah. and I picked Belichick and Brady's Patriots, and EJ picked the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Heatles. Pat Riley, well, it was Eric Spoelstra, Pat Riley in the front office. Manny picked the Kevin Durant Warriors, just adding the best player to the best team. And Bogish picked the New York Yankees, the first.
Yeah.
Jeter, Moe, Bernie Williams, Andy Pettit era. Okay, so the one thing about the Duke, though, it's funny to me that they have some of the most hated basketball players of all time.
Yeah.
And actually some of the most beloved guys of all time. You mentioned Grant Hill. You will not find one person alive who has a bad thing to say about Grant Hill. I would say the same thing about Carlos Boozer. Find anybody who will say something bad about Carlos Boozer.
Yeah, I mean, it was Boozer. It's the big guys at Elton Brand. Nobody had a problem with Elton Brand. Super
Everyone
nice guy.
Loves Elton
it's the
Brand.
It's a shooting guard. So.
Elton Brand was one and done, maybe a little bit different, but I just...
You know, Langdon got a lot of heat, which is funny because he's also like a saint. He's from Alaska. He's the nicest guy on earth.
I just think that it's funny to me they also have Shire, some of those beloved. John Shires. Now they're coach and nobody seems to hate him as much.
I think there is a strain that some people thought Duke was propped up because they had white stars. I mean, there was definitely like that was the genesis of some of this. Everyone's like, is Bobby Hurley really better than all these players? Like, is he the number one player in America? That was definitely part of it. So I think some people thought they were overrated. I mean,
totally.
Go back to like early 90s. But I think Leitner's personality was such a, he's like, I'm better than you and stick your thumb in your eye.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Has to be part of all of these teams if you're going to be most hateable.
Right. Patriots, Yankees. We're creating this evil empire of teams.
Well, I mean, that's Heatles. The theme today. PJ's in Atlanta. PJ, weigh in. The most hated teams of all time.
The 89-90 Duke Blue Devils. It's Kenny Anderson, Dennis Scott, and Brian Oliver. It's the day of the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 24, when Frisco buried the Denver Broncos. I'm at Cameron Indoor for the first time, and Duke beats Georgia Tech by 2 points, and they throw Twinkies at Dennis Scott. They literally, Indoor, and over my head, Twinkies in the wrapper, they say, "Hey, Dennis," and they throw Twinkies at him. They win by two. Duke is the worst team of all time. And as a Bears fan, can I root for the Bills?
Okay, well, we have the... So I'm laying out the groundwork. Yeah. PJ, thank you.
By the way, can I say, PJ sounds like a broadcaster.
Yeah, you have great voice.
It's like Jim Nantz. What's going on here?
I remember the Bills with the red face mask. Does that count?
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought this up because throughout the show, I've been noticing that a lot of people want to jump on the Bills bandwagon.
I'm a Joe Ferguson guy too. Okay. I'm old school. I'm 55.
Well, okay,
so.
Well now you're just like now you're the Bills
superfan.
You're the president of the Bills Mafia. PJ, thank you. I've been laying out and great call. I've been laying out some criteria. If you want to root against the Chiefs, but you want to come waltzing over to the Bills bandwagon, well, hold on a second. We're not just taking anybody. And as a lifelong Bills fan, I feel like I'm in position to lay some groundwork here. So I've already given out two rules, two criteria that you must have to be part of Bills Mafia. One,
the Bills make me wanna.
You must have lived in a cold weather place for at least one full winter, October to May, because that's what the winters are in Buffalo. You have to have experienced it. You also have to have experienced heartbreak in some other team you root for, preferably something that has a nickname. So,
yeah.
PJ is a Bears fan.
Oh, well,
plenty of heartbreak.
I mean, Fog Bowl is the best name. What else do they have?
Well, they haven't had a quarterback throw for 4,000 yards in their entire history.
Rex Grossman.
Oh, I think the Bears moment is Jay Cutler.
Cody Parkey.
Double doink. There you go.
That's a
PJ,
name.
You're in.
That's
so
it.
There's going to be a third criteria that I have here, and I'm just warning you, it's going to be the most controversial of all of them. But so far, you have to have lived in a cold place and experienced heartbreak with another team. So there you go. And I'll give you the third one in a little bit. We're asking you today for the most hated teams of all time. Sean is our buddy in Oregon. What's up, Sean?
Hey, can I give you one more thing that you have to do to jump on that Bills bandwagon?
I'll consider
it. You got to show courage. You got to be somebody that's brave enough to jump on a train that there's a sign saying train wreck coming.
Hey,
you gotta be that kind of person.
You know, Sean, you're off. All right, you're not getting on the bandwagon. Don't come crying to me after the Bills beat the Chiefs next week, saying, "Oh, I want to root for the Bills, Maggie, over Perloff's Eagles," because the inn is closed.
Well, I root for a good story, and I don't mess up a good story. And that's why I told you the Lions were going to win. See, the Lions are a story. They're a storied franchise, and it's a story about losing, and you don't want to mess that story up. And this year, you know what the story is? The story is about the Heisman Trophy winning, number one draft pick, with a first-year head coach winning the Super Bowl. That's what the story is this year.
So you're predicting a Commanders victory?
I'm saying I'm still thinking the Eagles might do it as long as the quarterback stays healthy. But I really think that's the story. If this happens, this would be the best story ever, and I'm all about the story here. You don't want to mess up a good story. You know, that's why I told my people were rooting for the Lions. I said, you don't want to mess up a good story.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't respond to that, calling them losers. The one thing about the story, though, Sean, is that there's never been a rookie who's won the Super Bowl. You think Jaden Daniels should be the guy to upend that.
Yeah.
What kind of story would this be? I mean, I think he's the best new thing next to sliced bread. I've been telling that to people for months. I've been watching this guy get more and more better and better, and that's what it's about week by week, what you see happening. And then when I saw Joe Gibbs at the game, in the Vikings game, I thought, holy smokes, brother. I know my skin starts standing on end.
Oh, all right. Sean, you've made the case.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably I'd still vote Bills as like the more lovable story, but they're close. Sean does make a compelling case.
No. Sean is wrong about one thing. That he's totally wrong about something, which I'm surprised because Sean can be sometimes very dead on, but he's just dead wrong about this. There's nothing that's better in sports when the team that's been the perennial loser finally gets over the hump. The Cubs did it. The Red Sox did it. You love when the Cleveland Cavaliers finally won. Do you understand the type of party that would happen if somehow the Browns, Sean's totally wrong about that. If the Lions were to win the Super Bowl, it would be a national holiday. He's totally wrong about that. People want to see the team that's the hard luck team finally break through.
Right. They definitely do. I guess the other is the phenom rookie narrative strong. You have to squint. I can't even remember it, but it's never happened. So we don't even know. I should know this off the top. Has any rookie ever played in the Super Bowl?
Never won. Right. I don't think he ever played in either.
What was the kid? There was a guy in Miami when Woodley played for the Dolphins, like way back in the day. Was he a rookie? Anyway, we'll check that.
No, I don't think so. All right. Let's go to Dennis, who's in Syracuse. Dennis, the most hateable team of all time is who?
The 90s Cowboys, without a doubt. They were so pompous. Them, their fans, their ownership. Nothing about them was likable.
Dennis, I think you're right. They definitely deserve to be on this list. I mean, I think that the 70s Cowboys were probably, were they a little more likable as America's team? The 90s Cowboys were definitely more arrogant.
They were the evil empire in the 70s. That team was, I mean, everyone loves Staubach, but Landry was scary.
I know, but Staubach is like a war hero. Yeah. Like, how do you hate on that guy?
No, you know, but they were the evil empire before the evil empire. They would come in with Landry and just be like, ooh, watch out.
I got one more for you, Maggie. What you were talking about before, could a player transfer in the portal, and then come back to their original team.
Yeah.
Yes, they can. And the proof is a guy named Deuce Chestnut, who played at Syracuse, transferred to LSU, and came back to Syracuse last year.
Yeah, we thought that that was – I don't think there's any rules now, right? And Dennis, thank you. The question was from a caller about Quinn Ewers and whether Quinn Ewers could go back to Ohio State. He declared for the draft, but he can pull his name out in mid-February sometime if he wants to. 855-212-4227. Keep them coming, guys. The most hated teams of all time. Bogish, what's up?
I'm gonna
the only thing else I got to say is, how about them Cowboys?
Has anybody mentioned the Bad Boy Pistons yet?
They certainly could be on the list.
All right.
I think a lot of people loved them, though.
Yeah?
Because they weren't superstars. It felt like a real team. It wasn't like a super team.
I don't think Boston liked them.
And I don't think 23 over in Chicago liked them too much.
Yeah. Oh, wait. You're talking about which era? You're talking about the
Bad
Isaiah?
Boy Pistons. Yeah, the Bad
Boys.
Okay,
sorry. I was also thinking about the other Pistons title, the Chauncey Billups.
The 04 Pistons?
Yeah, I think they were likable.
Yeah.
She was.
No, you're right. People did not like Laimbeer. They did not like Isaiah.
Early in last night's 80-78 OT win over Butler, UConn men's basketball coach Dan Hurley did something he rarely does. He got angry at the officials, and TV cameras caught Hurley yelling at my guy Nate Farrell, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the bleeping sports."
Humble guy, that Dan Hurley.
Likeable guy.
Here he comes postgame.
I've created this for myself. I'm not no victim, but I just wish that they would not have the camera on me 90% of the time, unless they feel like it's driving ratings and more on Twitter.
I've said this to you guys maybe five times now. He seems to hate being UConn's coach.
I'm sorry, what? I don't even know what that bleep was.
I don't know either. I listened to it 14 times. I don't know what he was bleeping out. A bad word for people like writing from the basement. I don't know what he was trying to say there, but it was a diss at social
media. You don't have the raw sound?
No.
Yeah, I'm like, what was he? Can you play it again?
Let me see if I can play just the
just that part. We'll talk about Dan.
Do we debate? I mean, it's definitely the
on Twitter.
Yeah, more something on Twitter.
Oh, BS maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Anyway. He's definitely the best coach, though, right? Like, is there a debate there?
So I think the debate would be, like, overall resume. I mean, he's won the last two national titles without a super-duper high-end roster and a different roster from one year to the next. So is he the best right now? Yeah, but like
there's
Tom Izzo
guys
is
in the Hall of Fame. And
yeah,
Rick Pitino's in the Hall of Fame. Izzo's in the Hall of Fame.
Bill Self, Mark Few, Scott Drew.
Right, but I mean, some of those guys, like, their time has passed. I mean, Pitino is back in the game, but it's not prime Pitino.
Yeah, but if you're telling me Pitino versus Dan Hurley, I'd be curious as a coaching matchup.
Rick Pitino today?
I mean, we're going to see St. John's UConn. I mean,
we're going to find out.
I mean, Rick Pitino just coach at Iona like 3 years ago?
He did a great job there.
That was also because of the scandals. Like, he had to get back into the sport by baby steps.
I don't know. I mean, I as an experiment, because we had this debate earlier, I pulled up I Googled best college basketball coach right now, and there's five rankings, and all of them have Dan Hurley number one.
Right, because he's won the last two national titles.
Right, right. So,
but historically,
really
he's not better than Izzo and Self yet.
Yeah,
yeah. But I think Hurley's reputation is much better. I think the average college basketball fan thinks Hurley's a better coach than Self. Self is polarizing. There are a lot of people who don't love Bill Self.
Yeah, but that's different. What about the success? I mean, Kansas.
Well,
has
the
been
question
an
was
absolute
the,
wagon.
Right, but who's the best college basketball coach? I didn't even think there was a debate going on. I thought like when Coach K and cleared out, then they needed like a guy, and Hurley's the guy.
I mean, he may be the best guy going, but like we've been saying, there's
Tom
guys with
exists.
Massive resumes.
Yeah, I'm not debating who's the greatest Hurley. Resume. I'm just saying who's the best college basketball coach right now. I think if you ask the average fan, would they say, oh, yeah, obviously Hurley.
Can you put that out as a poll question, please? Mm-hmm. Who's the best college basketball coach right now? And don't give any options. Just let people respond.
I think that's hard as a poll question. But.
Yeah, not a poll question. Question.
Yeah, but like, but the resume, none of that stuff matters. Like resume, like he's clearly the remember the Lakers tried to hire him. Like he's the man right now.
Also, with these press conferences, I'm glad he didn't go to the Lakers because he wouldn't last 5 seconds. He would implode.
he couldn't survive an entire NBA season.
No, but he seems to thrive on this weirdness, though. No, isn't this part of his act?
I don't know if it's an act, though. He just went. Have you ever seen him in a good mood?
He literally said in the same breath, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the sport, and also get the camera off me." What are you talking about, man?
It all somehow works, right?
Right. Let me act like a baby in secrecy. Yeah.
If it wins, it works.
But that's what else? What's the other objective? To win hearts and minds? This is totally a W and
no. But
L
I'm saying
business.
If you go to the Lakers. I don't think you're winning, and it's not going to go over the same way. You can pull this kind of crap in college because you have all this power, and because you maybe are the best coach in the sport right now. You go to the Lakers, you're just like every other NBA coach who's hired to get fired, and it's actually LeBron's world.
But I just don't think this random chaos and this bluster from him is without its purpose. I think all of this is kind of designed. I don't know what the design is. I think it's crazy. But, I mean, you laid out well. Like, he took a team that had no right. Not only did they win the last two titles, like, they dominated in the era when nobody dominates. Like, there's a new champion every year until UConn came along.
Let's jump to the NBA. Last night, LeBron dunked on a dude like he dunked on those petty fans back in Miami.
Christie for three. Good rebound by Reeves. Hooked pass! Count it!
LeBron, flex a little bit for me. Yeah, we know you're strong.
That's from Spectrum Sportsnet. LeBron dunking on Jonas Valanciunas off a lob from Austin Reeves. He finished with 21 points, 10 boards, 13 assists, and a 111-88 win over the Wizards, who have now dropped 11 in a row. Aaron Glenn left the building yesterday despite those threats from the Jets, but the former Jets player, current Lions D coordinator, may still become their head coach. Talks reportedly continue today. Ichiro, CC Sabathia, and Billy Wagner, the newest members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Ichiro, one vote shy of unanimous, just like Derek Jeter, leaving Mariano Rivera as the lone player ever to receive 100% of the vote.
Is it possible that the same person that didn't vote for Ichiro is the same person who didn't vote for Derek Jeter?
Well, we know who that person is, right? It was a guy in San Diego, I think, who did not vote for Jeter. I don't know if we're going to find out who this person is.
This person needs to be excommunicated from the sport.
I thought you were going to say executed.
No. I thought you were going to say that too.
Others have suggested that.
Excommunicated.
Wow.
I'm anti-violence. No baseball games. Can't go to a baseball stadium. Can't play MLB The Show. Can't do nothing. You can't even sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Can't even hum it.
So you're saying, just want to make it clear, you're saying that Ichiro is more deserving of the Hall of Fame than Jackie Robinson. That's
no,
what you're saying.
That's absolutely not what I'm saying.
Sounds like what you're saying.
When did I mention Jackie Robinson?
Well, he wasn't unanimous, but you think Ichiro
Jackie
deserves
Robinson
it.
Should have been unanimous.
Yep.
There's a lot of people who should have
right.
been.
Right. It's
Jackie, Hank Aaron, of course.
Yeah. But that's the logic that the voters are going with.
Yeah, but the question on the ballot is who deserves to be in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
And someone saw Ichiro and said, no, that guy's an idiot or a person.
And that used to be the logic. I don't think that's the logic now. My guess is if we find out this person who it was, they probably put in a blank ballot over steroids or whatever.
Oh,
that used to
be something
a protest.
Different.
Yeah. Originally, your argument was the argument. Well, Babe Ruth wasn't 100%, so nobody was. That's out the window now because we've had Jeter come close, Ichiro come close, and Rivera get 100. So this person was probably thought they were being clever and cute by making some kind of stand by with their ballot.
Some people have done the, I know Ichiro is going to get in, so I'm going to vote for guys who I think are really deserving who are not getting the love. Like Andrew Jones needs my vote, right? Or Billy Wagner needed the votes.
But you have 10 votes, so you can still vote for that individual.
I'm just saying. I think people use it as, all right, I know Ichiro is going to get in, so I'm going to vote for other guys. I'm not saying this person did that. I'm not saying it's right.
You know, Ichiro does get to go to the Hall of Fame still. He'll be fine.
Yeah, it seems a little like, are we focusing on the one person who didn't vote him in as opposed to the overwhelming landslide that it was for him to be first ballot? I think more people were more surprised that CeCe Sabathia got in first ballot.
I was.
I mean, being unanimous is special. It's like almost unprecedented. I think that that's a thing. I think for someone to say that I'm going to put myself over history is the part that annoys people.
But, I mean, there's only been one player ever to do it. So it's not like that history has not been established. You know, you're saying it's special to be a unanimous baseball player. Like, Ken Griffey wasn't, you know.
No, I'm saying, though, it's unprecedented, right?
So like, you're starting a new tradition.
Well, maybe you write these wrongs, right? Because these guys should have been first ballot.
Also, Ichiro's a pioneer.
Right. Ichiro is a big time Hall of Famer, but he's not one of the top like three or four of the last 20 years. I mean, he's not Cal Ripken Jr. in my opinion. Like there's another level even above Ichiro, like Jeter and Griffey, right?
Are you talking about stars? Are you talking about production?
Like I'm just saying like Hall of Fame. Like Derek Jeter's like on the Mount Rushmore. I mean, I'm saying huge. Like they're big players.
If we're talking about international impact in baseball, Ichiro is the first Japanese player. He came over one
position
MVP.
Player.
Yeah, position player. Came over one MVP basically his first year, right? And rookie
year.
Like he's an icon. He's an international icon, literally.
And there's no doubt. With Jeter, he's a Hall of Famer. There is no conversation that ends with him not being in the Hall of Fame. There's no reason to not vote for him.
Totally. But I mean, like, there are bigger stars. I mean, like, there's a few, like, you know, like Mount Rushmore guys, like, Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah, but there's also, but a lot of guys can be unanimous Hall of Famers and not be on Mount Rushmore.
You're right. Like, I think what you're saying is we should start it now.
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't be so precious. 855-212-4227. Got more to say about the Hall of Fame. Right now, we're asking you for the most hated teams of all time. That's our great debate for today.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Keep them coming, guys.
Ground ball, base hit in the right field. Heading for third is Terrence Long. The throw by Ichiro. Beautiful. Peggy got him. Holy smoke. A laser beam strike from Ichiro to the third baseman, David Bell. And Terrence Long is gunned down at third base. What a throw. Two outs.
Iconic throw from Ichiro his rookie season in Major League Baseball. He was inducted to the Hall of Fame yesterday along with CeCe Sabathia and with Billy Wagner. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Impossible not to see the impact of Ichiro, obviously. Look at the biggest star in the sport right now, Shohei Ohtani, called Ichiro his idol. All the Japanese players who, I know he wasn't the first, he was the first position player, but all of the Japanese players, the way the game has become so global, Ichiro's the thank for a lot for Major League Baseball. And he was just fun to watch. His amazing skill set. Had way more power than he played with. You know, it could have been a 40 home run guy, he said, but he didn't want to hit 220. It was important for him to always be on base. So there you go.
Yeah, no, Ichiro was amazing. Didn't win. He never won at the end, right? I know he jumped around a little bit. But I don't know if that, with baseball, it's funny, with quarterbacks you have to win Super Bowls. Baseball players, it helps to win World Series, but I don't think it's required, really.
Totally different calculus.
Yeah.
Especially for the Hall of Fame.
Well, I did, yeah, but if you look at the all-time, like, great, great Hall of Famers, they did win.
Well, but it just is not, it's not the criteria like it is in the Basketball Hall of Fame and the same with football.
But the reason Jeter is up there is because of the rings. The reason Jeter is the most famous modern-day player is...
Yeah, but he also has the numbers that got you there, too, in terms of hits and stuff like that.
Right, but he didn't have A-Rod stats, but he's still considered just as great a player because he won the ring. So I don't think it's totally divorced from wins. I do think, like, even Barry Bonds was a little bit judged, like he couldn't quite get over the top.
Yeah, I guess when you're talking about the elite players, like the Ted Williams, I mean, some guys just don't win. The Ernie Bankses, they just don't win. But nobody thinks that they're any less of a player 855-212-4227. Yeah, Griffey. I mean, there's a lot of guys who didn't win.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. But I do think that I mean, Ichiro, how many playoff games did Ichiro even get to in his career?
You know, I have to look that up. Obviously, he was on the amazing Mariners team that won, what was it, 113 games? I'm doing this off the top of my head. But yeah, Ichiro, amazing. Obviously, Billy Wagner, I thought, should have gotten in years ago. And CC Sabathia being first ballot, I was a little surprised by, but he's obviously a Hall of Famer.
Ichiro Suzuki played in 19 career postseason games.
In how many years?
He really just made it twice, 2001 with Seattle and 2012 with the Yankees.
In a 20-year career.
First year in Seattle, they won 116.
116.
Games.
What'd I say? Yeah. 113?
Yeah,
116.
That was after they lost A-Rod and Ken Griffey.
But, you know, I was just thinking about, Maggie, one counter. We do kill Mike Trout for not winning.
Yeah, but he's not going to the Hall of Fame.
No, he's not going, but his legacy, I think, is definitely affected by that. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, I think that we also, though, kind of kill the Angels for that, don't we?
Yeah, it's not Trout's fault, but I do think it's part of it.
I don't think Trout gets really a lot of heat for that. We kind of blame the Angels more, right?
You know, I've talked to you guys about what I think is rings culture that has kind of taken over sports. Like, if you don't win, then you're absolutely worthless. Like, it's this weird black and white area that I don't think athletes themselves see it this way at all. I just think baseball, we've been judging guys one way for a really long time, which is being great individually is enough.
Well, we always wonder, Mike Trout has all-time numbers. Like, he's really the biggest, most effective baseball player of our generation, but he's not the biggest star. I think we've always said that's because he never plays in the postseason.
Yeah, but also, you said he's putting up his numbers. What's he supposed to do? He can't pitch.
No, it's not blaming him, but I do think, like, there's a reason. Like, he's a better player than Bryce Harper, but Bryce Harper has always been kind of a bigger star, and not even because of postseason. I just think that Trout just disappeared in Anaheim. It was not his fault, but that's a reality of his legacy.
Yeah, I think there's a flip side of that where the guy's loyal. You know, he's been loyal to a team. Yeah. And, you know, again, there's only so much that he can do because, like, if you're a quarterback and you have the ball in your hand for every offensive play, I think it's okay that we expect you to win and you be the catalyst. Mike Trout is what, 5 plate appearances and maybe gets 3 balls hit his way in center field? Like, there's only so much he can do. One person can't win a World Series. It's the ultimate team sport, baseball, in that way.
Right. And it's
talking about winning.
And it's also the ultimate individual sport,
yes.
Too, in a way. Yeah. Yes, but it's still, you're totally divorced. I think there's a little bit in there. Derek Jeter, come on. The champ.
855-212-4227. We're back talking football next.